Welcome back, everybody. It's good to be back. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Quick story about mine. You didn't ask for it, but this is hilarious. And so we for the first time in a long time, we bought a house and we were going to host Thanksgiving because we weren't invited to my aunt's house because she hates us now because she's a big old Trumper. So we had some of my parents over and brother and some of those people. And, you know, you can plan all you want and get everything ready. So here we are, and I'm pouring the oil into the kettle because we're deep frying it, and I realize that the kettle has a hole in the bottom. How the hell do you prepare for it? I washed the darn thing, and I didn't see it, so, oh my God, here I'm like having a panic attack and wondering what the heck are we going to do. Thank God that, the slave drivers over at Bass Pro Shops make their people work on Thanksgiving, and we're able to get a new kettle and life went on, but it was delicious. So I've got a guy here. How was your Thanksgiving, Dan Schaefer?
I had a wonderful Thanksgiving, Mark Becker. Thanks for having me on the show.
Dude, I'm so excited you're here.
I always love talking politics with you, Mark. We're going to have a good show here, but yeah, we had a great Thanksgiving. Always fun for big family gatherings when you got a couple little ones running around.
Yeah. And
it was a special Thanksgiving for us because I have, both of my grandmas are still with us.
Oh, cool.
And one of my grandmas turned 95 on Thanksgiving.
Whoa, really?
So we celebrated her 95th birthday in addition to celebrating with a whole bunch of turkey and a great Green Bay Packers win. So it was a wonderful Thanksgiving.
My mom's birthday is the 27th as well. So happy birthday to your guys. 95, my gosh. Was it at your house?
My parents.
Nice. Yeah. So that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have absolutely no notes because I love being able to talk with you and just kind of see where things go. And I don't, you're so full of information. All that. So I want to start here. Are the Bucks trading Giannis?
So we should probably like timestamp this conversation just because things happen so fast. You're noting that I'm wearing my Bucks hat and have a whole bunch of Bucks gear behind me in my office as always. So we're recording this on Friday afternoon. So in case anything happens between now and when the show airs on over the weekend here, should at least make mention of that. But I have been so resistant to the ESPN reporting over the past, several months that seems to be almost rooting for him to be traded, rooting for him to leave Milwaukee. It does feel a little bit different these past kind of 72 hours or whatever it's been since that Wizards game earlier this week where things really fell apart at the end. You know, the Bucks have not come out of the gate playing all that well this season. So I think they're, and then Giannis gets injured the day of the, kind of the report comes out. What was it? Wednesday afternoon about, from ESPN saying that he was, kind of deliberating yet again about his future in Milwaukee. I am of the camp that you can't trade him. can't do it. You got to do everything you possibly can to keep this guy in Milwaukee for as long as you possibly can. Because, look, I've been a Bucks fan my whole life, and I will love the team no matter how bad they are. But, like, I think of the three decades prior to Giannis arriving in Milwaukee, and we were in the, the dregs of the league with the way, the Hornets or Wizards or Kings or some of these other teams that you never really pay all that much mind to are. I was going to games when it was, Brandon Jennings or Michael Redd and they're chasing the 8 seed and all of that. But I'll be going no matter what, just because I love the Bucks and I love the NBA. But I don't want to go back to that. I think Giannis is one of the best 15 players in the history of the league.
Yeah.
And I just want to, and I've just enjoyed watching him so much. It's been my greatest experience as a sports fan has been watching Giannis Antetokounmpo lead the Milwaukee Bucks to a championship and contention year after year. So I want them to do anything they possibly can to keep him in Milwaukee. I think when you trade a lot of picks for Jrue Holiday and then you trade a lot of picks for Damian Lillard, sometimes the cupboard's a little bit empty and the pieces that they've got around him aren't great. But I'll tell you what, I've been really encouraged by a couple things this season. One, Ryan Rollins having a breakout as their, you know, kind of guy that they have developed internally, has been playing some great point guard. I think he is, he could be a really good player, but you know, they lost what Giannis missed a couple weeks and they lost every game without him. You know, that's kind of where the team is. It's Giannis and a bunch of young guys and a bunch of, you know, kind of weird veterans, and it cobbled together this roster. And I don't really know. So, I think it's more in play. A Giannis trade is more in play now than it has been in a really long time. You know, certainly I think the summer rumors that ESPN trumped up were very much overblown. But I'm starting to get a little worried, Mark. I am.
You know, it's interesting. My son and I, we love sports, and he's a huge Red Sox. I love the Red Sox, and so does he. And so he started watching the Celtics, and when I was a kid, I loved watching the NBA, and so now I'm kind of picking that up as I'm not a kid with my kid. It's really cool, and we've kind of fallen back in love with this the sport of basketball and the NBA. What would it do? Because with you at the Recombobulation area, you have such a pulse on the city of Milwaukee. How would that impact the city if that would happen?
I mean, it would have a genuinely massive economic impact.
Right. Okay.
On the city. Like, I think the arena is the house Giannis built. You mm-hmm. know, the Deer District would not exist without Giannis. Like, you know, I was covering so much of the Bucks arena debate stuff back in, you know, about a decade ago when those conversations were happening. I was at Milwaukee Magazine at the time. I wrote a big cover story on kind of the future of downtown and kind of kept covering that for a number of years. And like the fact that, you know, the Bucks, the new ownership buys the Bucks at the very end of Giannis's rookie season. And then they are able to strike this deal to build the arena. I don't know how much of that happens without,
right,
like, at least the promise, the potential that Giannis showed that rookie year. And, you know, they got the top draft pick with Jabari Parker and whatever else.
Right.
But this is, I mean, it's the whole ecosystem down there exists because of Giannis.
Right. Yeah, that would be, yeah.
Horrible. I've joked around a little bit saying that, like, some state representatives should propose a bill to give, like, a tax credit to the Adetokunbo family to keep them in Milwaukee or something like that. Like, it, you know, there's an actual economic impact that would happen if you were to leave.
Ah, what a thing. And yeah, I mean, that would be crazy. I can't imagine that. I don't know how you pivot from that, but I know I wanted to kind of talk about, of course, politics. That's why we're here. Is the field of governor, is that set? Are we good? Is this all we got? No, I shouldn't say, all we got, but is this all who are coming in?
Yeah. So, you know, we've been talking about this offline, right?
Yeah.
About the race for governor. And the big news this week, obviously, is that Mandela Barnes officially launched his campaign. It was kind of the worst kept secret in Wisconsin politics that he was going to be launching that campaign. So he officially kicked it off on, what was it, Tuesday, December 2nd. And, you know, I think that it's become a very crowded primary already. And from what I'm hearing, there's at least one more candidate who is likely to join the race. Joel Brennan, who was the secretary of the Department of Administration in Tony Evers' first term. He's also a kind of a Milwaukee area fixture as well. He was the CEO of Discovery World for a while. He's currently the president of the Greater Milwaukee Committee. And I'm told that he is very likely to launch a campaign in the not too distant future. I heard some rumblings that somebody told me that they saw him filming a campaign announcement video. Which quick aside on that, the campaign announcement video has become such a thing.
I know.
Now we have all of these different candidates and they're all on the move.
Hype videos.
And all of them too. They got the hype videos and they're all walking and talking and saying all these different things, and it's the quick cuts and
if you're Francesca Hong, you're swearing. Off.
Yeah. Just dropping a couple four-letter words there. But I think it's, but, you know, I, and I, I don't know if he would even be the last to join this type of race. I mean, being the first open race for governor in Wisconsin since 2010, I think is going to invite a lot of people, and it already has, to join the race. Like, obviously fewer on the Republican side, which is a little strange, but, you know, it's a big, weird, crowded Democratic primary, and I think this has kind of been looming for a while, that we would have, you know, a big, weird primary on the Democratic side in Wisconsin for a statewide race. And we sure are getting it.
Well, I think the worst kept secret is a lot of people on the right, they know that Tom Tiffany's not the guy. He's not going to win. You know, and I think I said, I don't know. You want to break some news here? I think I said this on my show earlier, but I had a conversation with Tommy Thompson, where he said,
"That's right, you did mention that on the show before." Yeah.
Yes, that where he told me that he knows that he's not the guy. Tom Tiffany's not the guy. He's not going to win.
And didn't he have some comments about how he wouldn't do well in Milwaukee and Madison, or yes, those markets in particular?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's such an interesting part of thinking about his candidacy, because so many of the Republican candidates that have run in Wisconsin have been from the WOW counties, have been from Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington counties, and that has long been the Republican stronghold in the state. And as those suburban counties kind of become more purple instead of deep red, you know, it kind of shifts the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. And I think Tiffany is very much indicative of that, being from, you know, the northern district in the state, in the 7th congressional district. I agree with Tommy Thompson there. I think he would really struggle in the major media markets in the state. And some of those, you know, Waukesha and Ozaukee in particular, that have becoming more and more Democratic in recent years. Like, I don't think a blue Ozaukee county is completely out of the question if Tiffany is the candidate.
Right. And, you know, here's the thing too. I hesitate when I say this, but one of the things that I get nervous about is a really just a bloody campaign. I really worry about that.
I'm less worried about it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like the way a lot of Democrats seem to fear primaries. Yeah. And I get that there is a timing aspect with Wisconsin's that is complicating. Like, if the primary was in April instead of August,
yeah,
I think it would give, you know, your general election candidate a little bit longer runway.
Yes.
To ramp up that general election campaign.
Yep.
So I think a long-term thing to consider is to move that partisan primary to the spring election in the future. But I think there is like this iron sharpens iron quality in primaries too. And I think back to, you know, when Mandela Barnes became the candidate in 2022 for Senate, it was a competitive primary, but it wasn't, right? They all dropped out. A couple weeks before the actual primary. And I think Barnes would have been in better shape for that stretch run, for that general election run, if he had been tested a little bit more in the primary, because I think coming out of that primary, he seemed really flat-footed responding to what I think were some inevitable attacks from Ron Johnson.
Right. We're talking about Dan Schaefer. We're going to continue this discussion about primaries and all things Wisconsin politics on the Rational Revolution. Stick around. We'll be right back. Don't you know?